I've come to realize over the years that people generally strive or struggle to come up with a new Christmas message every year. And I came to realize a long time ago there isn't one. You can read it every year and it never changes, and it's beautiful and it's precious. But what I'd like to say about the opening scripture for recording purposes, it comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. And one of the things about not only traditionally the Christmas message, but the Word of God, over the years has been meaningful to me since I got saved. And I've come to realize how important God's Word is, and how accurate it is, and how it's hard to find truth anymore. But the Word of God is the truth. And when you find Micah, just let me know. Oh, we got it right up there. That's good. Thank you, Aaron. And I think about scriptures like these, sandwiched in a very, I don't know, Micah never got a lot of credit by all the theologians. They called him a minor prophet. I don't think there's anything minor when you predict or prophesy the coming of the Messiah. I wouldn't say that that's really minor, would you?
Never,
no. If that's the only thing you prophesied, hallelujah, that's great news. Please don't put minor on his name. Minor Micah. Now he's Major Micah. Salute him. But thou, Bethlehem, that word El, it's pronounced Ephrath, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Right in the middle is sandwiched such a precious truth. Bethlehem was divided into many districts, and this Ephrath would be like, this is just an example, like we're in the town of Rockingham, the township of Rockingham here in Vermont, by a tenth of a mile. So we can't say Renewed Life in Jesus in Chester. Technically and legally, it's Rockingham. But within that township, you've got Upper Bartonsville, Lower Bartonsville, Rockingham. So it's like we're part of Rockingham, but it has little townships. And this little place, not very famous, not well known, but yet that was the place in Bethlehem that Jesus was born. And the other thing about the name of this place, Bethlehem was also David's birthplace. And Bethlehem is called the city of David. It's also called the city of bread. When Jesus said that he was the living bread that came down from heaven, the living bread. And he is also of the lineage of David. So it just followed in David's footsteps that Jesus would be born in the same town. But the town itself, Ephrath, it means fruitful. Whereas Bethlehem is the city of bread, but this little subdivision of Bethlehem had its own name, and it means fruitful. And so when you think about a small town, and you think, well, there's nobody famous in our town. Well, there just might be. And it shows me that God doesn't make light of small things. And even the Christmas message in itself has been told long before he came. And you have to hunt for the scriptures. But a good study Bible will have many of the references so you can go back and read them. And how how perfectly they all fit together. But I thought I'd really go back today all the way to the beginning in Genesis, just to go with this. And it's from Genesis chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15. This was after Adam and Eve sinned, and Adam blamed his wife, and then she blamed the devil. She sounded like Flip Wilson, "The devil made me do it." You know, the blame game kind of thing. And but the Lord had a word for Satan. And please, after you see this, don't give him any more power and authority than he really has over your lives. Okay? That's a good word. And here he says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet." Very prophetic of the Messiah in that verse. And the devil was given his future, to crawl on his belly all the days of his life and eat the dust of the earth. Now that's a bad future. Amen. You should be really happy that you woke up this morning and know that he's under our feet. But also know that this foretold right in the beginning of the Bible, only in chapter 3, that there was going to be one that would come and be born of a woman, and that he would bruise, if you will, the heel of Satan, but Jesus was going to bust his head. Amen. He took dominion back. Amen. Over the power that Adam gave him. Because you see, Adam then, by Adam's sin, he empowered Satan with the power that he had. Because he didn't have any before. But when Adam sinned, Adam yielded that dominion to Satan, and he became the author of death and hell and every other evil destruction there is. But I love the fact that God warned him, the day is coming. And you're going to think that you got him at the cross, but you better be looking for the third day, because he's going to thump your head. It's going to cut him off. And so even all the way back then, because I don't want to take the Christmas message that Ken always brings every year, but I like to be supportive in that and show you some background of how many years ago all of these things were prophesied. And so when we read them in Matthew and Luke, it's referring back to many of the scriptures that you find, and how compatible and true God's word is. And that if you want to talk about any other biblical subject, there is the source of truth. You won't find a higher version of the truth than God's word about a situation. And sometimes the enemy will lie to you and deceive you, because that's all he can do, is lie and deceive. There is no truth in him. Jesus called him a liar and the father of lies. And this is really important, that we have discernment to know who's doing what and who's saying what, so that we don't have to fall victim. I got a Christmas card back from India back in September, the one I sent to Pastor Sherrard and his family last year. It came back to me in September. But it's a parable. And it's like, remember that bad word the enemy spoke to you a year ago? Just send it back to the sender. Send it back. Don't receive it. Don't even open it. But how that happened, I don't know. It made it all the way to India, but it never got delivered. And somehow, because it was postmarked Bangalore, so I know I got that far. And yet all those months later, it came back. And so when the enemy speaks to us and he tries to put fear and worry and anxiety, God already has the answer. He said, fear not. People were frightened by angels then. And if you could see paintings of people's visions of angels, they are fearfully looking creatures. Some of them have six wings, some have four, some have three or four faces, and they're really hideous looking things the way the Bible describes them. I could imagine how a person would be fearful. But it was angels that came and announced the birth of Christ. And on that slide, the first Noel, you might have seen the picture of a beautiful painting of the angel coming to bring that news, and the shepherds just cowering and trembling in fear at what they heard. There it is. I mean, that's a very realistic painting of what it might have been. You know, we don't know. We weren't there. Most of us haven't seen angels. But the astounding news, it's still the same message. And I'm thankful that we have the word with us so that we can read it. They didn't. Yes, Ken?
That just reminded me. We had a gentleman who was extremely prophetic, one we knew through IM Ministries. Mm-hmm. And he was at our house a number of years back. And he had the ability to see in the heavens, and also the ability to see into Satan's war room also. And but he told us, this was when we were birthing our home church, that we had an angel standing over our house guarding us, and this angel was 70 feet tall. And he said he could see it. And I thought, my God, that's pretty amazing.
And we've never seen it, but the time the lightning hit the tree in our neighbor's yard and burst parts of his fence, and the line went through the grass and stopped at the corner of our slab.
He was glad he was there, huh?
Yeah, we believe the protection is still there.
Amen. Yes, and we have four on this property. The snow's probably not even up to their bootlaces or whatever, you know. But very, and different people that have come have seen them. The two out front have a sword like this standing out there, and the ones in the back have shields, and they're standing at what we would call in the military parade rest, where they're standing like this in front of their shields, and the other two are right out on the front. And in all these years, on February 6th, we'll have been here 34 years, and not one thing has ever happened to this building. Sometimes, you know, we have a policy, last one out, get the lights and the doors, and sometimes that gets overlooked. And not one thing has been damaged or taken or stolen or anything in all these years. And it's just wonderful how people come here, and I've actually seen cars just parked here, and there's nothing going on in the building. Well, people come here. I've seen people stop, have a picnic out on the lawn in the summertime. They don't go to the church, but they came, and they just feel so much at peace here to be here. And that's a wonderful testimony. And I love to see it used. I love working on the property because I know those angels are there. And I like going barefoot in the grass because it's angel ground. It's just beautiful. And like your home, when you know that God protected you, and that angel probably took that lightning bolt and went, shoo. No more of that. Those are my kids. Don't mess with them. Before any of you arrived this morning and we were going through the song list, and believe it was the second one in, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. It triggered a remembrance of one of the four trips that I went into Eastern Europe, into two countries that were formerly communist countries, the Czech Republic and the Republic of Slovakia. They used to be one country, but then they divided and they each became their own republic. But we were invited to go to a public school. And our kids were in school here in Chester. And it was so beautiful because the new prime minister of the Czech Republic, you have to remember in 1989 they were still communist. In 1990, a lot of them, their doctrines began to infiltrate here in America very strongly. But I saw this in the school there. A lot of the teachers were still communists, but they had appointed new positions, like a new cabinet in the new free government of the Czech Republic. And one of those was the new deputy minister of education. And our team met with him in his government office, and he said, I have a vision and a new plan for our nation. And I believe that the gospel is the answer to the problems we've been having in our public schools. And we want you as a team to visit some of our schools, share your testimonies, bring Bibles, bring tracts, and pray for those kids in their classrooms and their teachers. Can you imagine that? One of the schools that we visited was filled with drugs. There was a Volkswagen factory right near the school grounds. And some of the workers from the factories would come over and sell drugs to the kids at the school. And so this man's vision was so powerful. And we had total freedom. I have photographs of those trips. And I wrote about them in my journals. And you can read about that account of going to one of those schools. And there's pictures of us and the kids sitting at their desks reading their Bibles in the Czech language. We took 5,000 Bibles printed in the Czech language and Slovakian language, in two separate languages, and tracts. And those kids were reading the gospel in their own language for the very first time. But one of the things that really was a blessing is when we were pretty much winding down and we asked, was there anybody in the class that wanted prayer or wanted to know this Jesus that we came and preached about? Well, one of the teachers did. And she got saved right in front of her whole class in her classroom with an altar call that we had right in the front of the classroom. But then she said, we have something prepared for you. We knew that you guys were coming. And they sang that song in the Czech language, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But from the perspective, they had just come out of 40 years of bondage and darkness to communism and no freedom, no God, no Bibles, no Word, no nothing. And here these kids are in high school in their classroom singing this song, and it's Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that was their new vision for going forward with their youth, is to bring the gospel to them and give them hope, give them light, give them a path for the future, a light and a lamp, because those kids had it snuffed all those years under communism, and then I come back home and find out the light that was once in our public schools is being snuffed out by communists here now. And if you don't think so, you better start waking up, because some of your grandkids are in those schools, and you better be praying. Because I'll tell you, it's gone flip-flop the opposite way. You better hide a Bible if you bring it in a public school now. There are very few exceptions, and they're not allowed. All socialism and communist doctrines coming into our education system. And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just showing you I had the lifetime opportunity to go to where it was former communism. And they were giving these kids a breath of fresh air. They were giving them the hope that the gospel offers, and right there in their classrooms. And it was the most profound thing. And I wanted to tell you about that when we were going through those songs, that song is, it's just, you know, sometimes when you hear a song, you remember where you were at one time. That song places you in a place and a time that's fixed in all of history. Well, when we first did that, I could just see myself standing in that classroom telling those kids how Jesus set me free from drugs and alcohol after 13 years of addiction and couldn't shake it. We'd go 3 days. But for the new deputy minister of education to have that vision and that plan for an entire nation, and he said that he wanted every student to have a Bible so that every student in every public school would have a Bible and have the opportunity to know that there is a God.
Wonderful.
That's powerful.
Amen.
So that's my message today. Just something simple, but so profound that they had the insight to know that the gospel has the power to change an entire nation, beginning with the public schools. Joseph Stalin found a way to break ours down here, to use the public school system and deny the knowledge of God to three generations and use the public education system to do it. An exact opposite. And I've had the joy of living in both worlds. And I'll tell you, I prefer theirs now. Because the difference, those nations are thriving, they're prospering, people got jobs. They didn't get their property back right away because under communism they want to confiscate people's properties, shut all the small businesses down so that the government takes care of you. So keep your ear peeled. You're going to hear a lot of these kind of words, if you haven't already, of what their plans are. But God is bigger than all of that, and we really need to make sure that when we're praying for our kids or our grandchildren, that they have the opportunity to have the gospel and to have a Bible, and to teach them any chance that you get side by side with what the public schools are teaching and what we as Christians believe and should teach our children, because we're commanded of the Lord to teach our children the Word. We can't blame the schools. If our kids are getting indoctrinated, we have a call as moms and dads and grandparents to teach our kids the Word so that they know the difference. And you would be amazed at how those two nations have changed going back three more times after the first trip, and saw how the gospel changed the entire country. It's a living testimony. The poverty, the buildings, everything was just so trashed and run down. It looked like it was like going to a war zone. And to see the difference, and to be able to go to the schools. We went to 4 different schools, and the receptivity to the gospel, it was like God opened up a jewelry box and just threw out his gems, and their open arms to embrace them. It was magnificent. Oh, that's not a Christmas message, but it's a message of hope.
Amen.
Because we get to see it happen and how powerful it is to change lives and change nations. But it all started, didn't it, in the beginning with Genesis and coming all the way up through to Christ coming. And and the scriptures that you read was so powerful because it brought light, and it goes in line with that scripture that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when all those kids sang that song in English, they didn't know how to sing English, but they were taught how to sing that song in English to bless us. And do you know another thing? On all the little porches and balconies on a lot of their high-level apartment buildings, they had the Czech flag, and right beside it, they had our flag beside it. They recognized that we were also a nation that brought them the gospel, that brought them hope. And when, you know, when we have this missions offering, and I know it's become very traditional, but I'll tell you, my life has been so touched and changed because of that offering. There were times when we couldn't have gone. And to know that there are going to be people in heaven because of your offering. I mean, we all give in together. We just do. You know, we don't beat around the bush about it, but it's true. Yes.
I got a Christmas card from Tom and Carol, and they wrote a little note inside saying that God is beginning to move in the church that they're going to.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, I see little glimpses of God beginning to stir people, and so we all should take hope in that. As bleak as the world looks, as bleak as things look in our country, God is totally involved in what's going on, mm-hmm. and hearts are responding,
yes.
and drawing closer to Him. So God can use these difficulties like He did with the Czech people. It just reminds me, for some reason, it takes oppression, it takes losing, you know, good things or peace or whatever to make men look up. And I just really rejoice in these little things that I see beginning to happen, because I personally believe that we're going to see something powerful work underneath all of this mess on the top, and then spring forth and bring birth,
yes.
to many souls for the kingdom of God. So I just share this to encourage people that your prayers, God is hearing, and don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for your loved ones, because that word that is spoken is powerful. You know, the Bible says it's like a two-edged sword. And God will accomplish His will. You know, I mean, He's not taking man's free will away, because there are still those who will curse God even though they see God, you know. But your prayers can make the difference in a soul's life. So don't give up praying for them. And just be encouraged that God is working. He is working even in the midst of darkness, and one day He's going to spring forth again with a light so bright that men will bow.
Amen.
And every tongue will confess, you know, that Christ
yes.
is Lord. So
and we as believers are His body, we're His vessels.
Yes.
And how significant that is, because there were people say, oh, He could just like that make it happen. He could, but He chose to use His people. He chose to use His body. And like Gary's reminded me several times, that the whole earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the true church to rise up and be that light and not just hide it inside of a building.
The most important thing we can do as an individual is to pray and seek the Lord for ourselves, because yep. God will use usually if you allow Him to.
Yes.
And I was watching Perry Stone this week, and he was talking about prayer and how his great-grandfather was a prayer person, and his father learned to pray from his great-grandfather, and he learned to pray from his father. And he said in the Bible it speaks how Jesus went to the garden to pray from the third to the sixth hour, or I don't know how it's worded, but it was from 3 to 6 in the morning. And look how mightily God used Jesus. And it was that time in prayer that He spent with the Lord that empowered Him to do the works that He did. That same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is in His children. If they allow it to move, they can do the same kinds of works. Because Jesus said, you know, that we will do greater things than Him if we pray. You
yes.
know? and meaning we have a greater field to reach. And so it just really spoke to my heart again, really convicted me of the importance of, you know, spending that time with the Lord in prayer. And he went on to say how he prayed. He always started with the Our Father, and then he prayed in English, and then he prayed in tongues, and his great-grandfather. And this one time he was with his son, they were driving down the road, and all of a sudden his great-grandfather said to his son, stop right here. And he said, there's a shoe shop. I need to go to that shoe shop. So he went inside. Now his grandfather was an uneducated man. And God used him miraculously in speaking different languages. He spoke in Greek, he spoke in Hebrew. And this particular time, the owner of this shoe shop was German. And he went in to speak to this man who was German. And God gave him the gift of speaking in German to him. And he was speaking to him the wonderful works of God from the book of Mark. He was quoting Mark in tongues, or, you know, in this language to this man. And this man didn't receive it. He took up a mallet. He was going to take a mallet after him. But he just said, don't put your pearls before the swine. And so he left. And the next day that man died. So God was giving that man one last chance to come to him. But this is the power of the Holy Spirit working through his saints. If you really want God to work in your life, it begins in prayer. And so I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you're waiting for God to do some things, believe me, God can do mighty things in ways that you cannot, you know, you can't even fathom. So just hang in there, church. Regardless of what's going on around you, trust the Lord, pray with all your heart, mind, and soul, and wait and see what God can do with your prayers, because we are His vessels and He uses you on earth.
It's exciting when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through many people here today. But all during the worship service, the Holy Spirit was reminding me of these three verses, and we're all familiar with them. It's in John 14. But before I read these verses, I just want to share a personal background. Many of you don't know this. I came to the Lord in 75. Prior to that, probably 20 years, maybe 15, 20 years, I'd been on such a diligent spiritual search, but I'd gotten into all kinds of things that were not of God. And shortly after I got born of the Spirit, Jesus spoke to me about this scripture. And when I hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to the body here today about the time we're living in, this is very encouraging. This is for all of us. So here's our Lord speaking to us. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yes.
And we are in a time, this is in my spirit, where God is taking his body, those who want to go there, where they leave the system of the world behind. They don't expose themselves to a lot of stuff in the media, watch things that are ungodly, into the Word, into prayer, like Barb spoke. And we are going to see God use us, because each one of us is a minister of God.
Yes.
It's a great time to be alive.
Thank you. Yes, so.
Three words. God is hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.